I went outside, and this is Judah, right? Yes, sir. Judah. And he had this sign, and he brought it because of seeing our banner and then wanted to share a message with us. Is that?
Yes.
And
yes,
so
sir.
I said we could give him a couple of minutes to do that. And welcome,
thank you,
welcome,
I
Judah.
Appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you.
Want to use the mic?
How are you doing today? Y'all doing all right? This is a beautiful house, and I'm grateful to be here. I want to give honor to the homosexual community. I want to give honor to the transvestites because y'all gave me courage. Y'all gave me strength after 35 years of my life to come out of the closet and be who my Father created in me, which is a son of the Most High God. And I hope that my Father blesses each and every one of you and sees the greatness that's in all of you and pulls it out of you, because I am here to paint a picture and bring it to life. I'm here to pull greatness out of you. I'm here to create a hunger. I'm here to create a thirst. I am here to give you all that my Father has to offer. True peace, true love, true unity in a world that's corrupted, in a world that is dying. Oh, everywhere we look, it's dying. But I don't want to keep you. I didn't mean to disturb you or interrupt you. I'm gracious and grateful for your time, for your ears, and for your heart. And I love each and every one of you. And thank you so very much. I hope you all have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Oh, this is fast. Thank you. Yeah. You didn't see it. Oh, we can put it up. It says, if love is love, then why can't two men, why can't two women come together in holy matrimony and create life? It doesn't bend, it doesn't break. Truth. Pretty cool. So, Judah has just shared with us sort of a great example of what happens when we just react, you know? And then, but to somebody who is different or in a space where we feel like we just have our certain things to do and be. And he came in and shared this message with us and made it a Father's Day to remember. Thank you, Judah. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for sticking with it. Yeah, there you go. We're good. Thanks. That feels better. Thanks, friend. That's the big question. Are we living who we say we are? That faces all of us. And you brought a surprise. So thank you. It just so happens that Father's Day 5 years ago was also the day we packed up our worship pack or basket in our case. As I said, for what we thought were going to be 3 to 4 months, that turned out to be 8. And we met, where did we meet? At Agudas Israel Synagogue. So it's the congregation of Agudas Israel that generously agreed to share their space on Sundays while our sanctuary was being done. So we moved out of this space and into new relationship. And in those 5 years now, Rabbi Phil Cohen, who kind of led that effort that allowed us to stay there, is gone. And Rabbi Rachel Jackson is here, and she's going to be speaking with us next week. I'd love to say that we planned this as sort of an anniversary thing, but we didn't. It's sort of the grace of the moment making this happen. I said that it's not like we are moving. It's more like we are visiting or attending worship camp over there for a few months. And as we've heard, it felt like the movers were coming, and we had to get ready for within a few hours after the service. In fact, as soon as we got up, the choir went and gathered all the hymnals and put them on carts and moved them out so the pews could be taken up. Time had come for us to pack our bags and put them by the door. We all go through some variations of a similar process of deciding what we need to be sure we have with us whenever we go away from home for a while. Many of you are going through the throes of downsizing and getting ready to move or have moved. I've moved many times in my adult life from third grade on. But from third grade on, my family was settled in the same house until I left for college. My mother sold that home to one of my best friends about 15 years ago. They still live there, and so I visit them in my old home. They've turned mine and my brother's room into the master bedroom. When I was growing up, my dad took the month of August off, and almost every August, we'd pack up the car, hook up the boat, and we'd drive to Inglewood, Florida, to spend a month in a little cottage made of pecky cypress, no air conditioning, overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. We didn't even think air conditioning back then. That was back when there were undeveloped stretches of Florida beach and going to the beach was affordable. Several years, we came back home with just enough time to shop for new clothes before school started. I can still remember the feel of shoes making my feet burn because I'd been barefoot all summer. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to recall and feel many of these memories again. Have you taken the time to sit and recall your memories? The title today is Dad's Tackle Box. It was a wooden box that worked much like modern plastic tackle boxes, only a little less efficiently. But I always liked it. I loved it. My dad made it in the years before I was born, so I associated it with him and with fishing, and often then fishing with him. The box was well made. Each drawer had different sized trays and compartments, all made out of wood for plugs and hooks and sinkers or whatever else you needed for the day. It had three layers, but you had to take the layer above out to get to the layer below. There were dovetail joints, and it was varnished in and out. I started to bring a box this morning that is wooden like that, but it's rough sawn, and would give the wrong impression. My dad's had history and functional beauty and meaning. I remember how it felt, and the sound of the wood and the rattle the metal hooks on the plugs made when I put the top tray back in its place. I can almost sense its smell. Eventually, Dad got each of us three boys our own tackle boxes so we could be responsible for our own gear, and so he stood at least a slightly better chance of finding what he needed for himself when he went to find what he remembered being in his box the last time he looked. Ours were modern plastic ones with metal hinges that automatically move the drawers into view when you open the lid. His was the box still that usually had what you needed. And besides that, the gear just somehow seemed a little better if it came out of his tackle box. We live near a lake, and I fished a lot. I fished before I caught the bus in the morning some days. But that was fresh water. Part of our summer ritual was getting ready for the different types of saltwater fishing we were going to be doing. And Dad knew what we needed. He bought new line, lures, hooks of different sizes, different weights, swivels, snap swivels, and several gauges of wire leader. Freshwater, you didn't need wire leaders unless you were fishing for gar. Everything had a reason and a purpose. We put the new line on our reels and made lots of different leaders. We organized the trays of the tackle box, closed the lid, fastened the brass hook and eye latch. And put the box by the boat with the rods and reels. We were ready to go. Remember me telling the story on Mother's Day about a cell phone, where I had gotten to the point of this great line that I loved, and I said, "My mother is the portal through which the universe became me." And at that very moment that I finished saying me, the cell phone went off just like that with the Star Wars theme. Remember that? Not kidding. So here we are, ready to go. And here's the point. We had what we needed for one central focus of our time away. Some of you may remember how 5 years ago, later in the service, we packed our basket with what we thought we needed to take with us to Agudas Israel. We put the bell, which some of you think I ring just to get you quiet, but it's to form more sanctuary, the space within which we move, the presence. We took our chalice, which is our hearth, also our compass, with us. We took our hymnals because of the song, the music, the theology, the presence. And I think there were a few other little things in that basket just so we could unpack it when we were at Agudas and then make it our space, our home. What's that? Name tags. I'd forgotten that part. Yes, we did. We had name tags. As much as I liked my dad's tackle box, the metaphor of a box doesn't fit us for moving our worship props. So we used a basket. A basket is more us than a box, maybe even a backpack, but not a box. We were moving out of the box and coming back to more open sanctuary. Out of the box, and as Judah pointed out, has become an even more central part of my understanding of how we have to live as Unitarian Universalism. It's also become more my understanding of religion as a word of orientation, not a box set of beliefs, but a way of moving in the world. But back to Father's Day. I said that Dad made sure we had what we needed in order to be able to do what we wanted to do. A little bit parenthetically, Dad seemed often more concerned that we are doing what they think we need to be doing rather than what we want to do. But my dad didn't do that. And on Father's Day, we remember how our fathers helped us stock our personal tackle boxes. I'm talking about a tackle box today, but it could also be thought of as a toolbox with the tools you need. Out of the box then also means to find in the box what you need, the tools to be you. So today we celebrate what fathers did for us, how they made the effort, what they put in our hands. And just as we did for mothers on Mother's Day, we remember that because each father is a human, each father is imperfect as a father. That is not an excuse or a rationalization. It's a statement of just this being we've been given. So when we share our hallmark memories, our stories of love and caring, we also live with stories of neglect and things that didn't go the way we wanted to, or perhaps even stories of abuse. Along with the stories of our fathers being there for us, there are stories of when they missed the mark or never even try. There are stories of right and of wrong, stories of presence and abandonment, painful estrangement and wonderful togetherness. On Father's Day, we celebrate the love and caring and commitment of fathers, even as we acknowledge the complexities of emotion and experience that may surround this day and the celebration too. It's kind of like sitting with our prelude, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." That's true. And you may sit here with different experience that has to connect in different ways. I was struggling with it at first, and then I realized that the choir was actually creating that feeling for me. My brother had a phrase, he would say, "Oh, are you being a puddle glum?" And I would say, "What? A puddle glum?" He said, "Yeah, that's somebody who, after it rains, they go, 'Oh, look at all those puddles. I'm going to get my feet wet,' rather than go, 'Oh, there's a puddle. I'm going to jump in it and splash.'" But I couldn't do that, but I finally came around to it. Okay. But back, so we acknowledge these complexities. But moving back to my own father, my dad was really good to me. Especially in the time that I lived at home. I enjoyed being with him. He didn't like to sit down and talk about things. That's what my mother did, but I thought you should do that, but my dad didn't. Rather, we talked about what we needed to talk about, sort of like the tackle box, as we did stuff together. This beach vacation was one of his special times to be present with what he loved to do, and I think, too, with those he loved to do the things with. And that was back before computers and cell phones. When he was on vacation, he was almost completely away from the demands of work for a whole month. The only phone that could reach him was the one phone in the office building for all the cottages. He spent the time with us. We talked while we fished or walked the beach or restocked the tackle in the tackle box. And yes, you could say that I was lucky or blessed to grow up with my father. In a way, he was the sanctuary that held and formed my growing being well. And I think that may be a good line for what it means to be a father, the sanctuary that holds and forms my growing being well. He was steady, predictable, smart, and kind, and fair, and strong, and he was dependable. And that's how I came to approach the universe, at least in foundational ways, that I can return to in my grounded moments. The sign at First Presbyterian Church says for today, a father's love. That's how many of us understand, or you could describe, how we hope God is. And our understanding from our tradition is an inclusive, loving God, not an exclusive God. But back to earth. My father was a strong influence on who I have become, even as I am so different than he was. In many ways, I am who I am because of who and how my father was and was with me. It's also a day to reflect on ourselves as we celebrate our fathers. One of the things in reflecting I've come to realize is that I got angry at my father for expecting him, for him not talking with me or helping me to solve my problems in the way I wanted him to. But I realized later that those were my issues and my expectations. And I was asking him to be something he wasn't. And then I was discounting him for not being what I wanted him to be rather than embracing and appreciating what he was and what he had given. So that's been a growing edge for me. He also taught me about how to be present and grounded in the world, not by words, but by example when I think back. I hope Father and Father's Day contain good memories and intent with you and for you to celebrate. I hope that you have your own tackle box or toolbox, basket of memories and reflections so that you might take them out of the box, given that new meaning, in order that you have what you need, in order to be able to do what you want to do and be who you want to be. The loved child you are and the wonderful person you have always been. So now we're ready to worship and to get to the work of you with your toolbox as you go fishing in your gift of life. Happy Father's Day to you all.